to be sure of his
Paris Auto Show. It's gentlemen, plug in your engines.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Over the weekend, hearts started racing at the Paris Auto Show. Industry experts say it's the first time since 2008 that a big auto show actually felt upbeat. Marketplace's Eve Tro is here to tell us what's making everybody say magnifique. Hello, Eve.
Hi, Bill.
So what's everybody excited about?
The big news is EVs, so you might say the feeling is electric. Sorry about that. Mm-hmm. I mean new electric vehicles from Volvo, Opel, Peugeot, Renault. Everybody's got one. Now, I didn't get to go to Paris to see them, but Simon Warburton did. He writes for Just Auto in the UK, and he told me this show proves the electric market is charging ahead, and that is good news for the whole industry.
It's certainly a sector that's looking to revitalize and actually provide new momentum and new incentives. This is creating possibly vast amounts of new jobs.
Plus, since Paris held the world's first auto show back in the 1800s, it's kind of nice that this revolution reached a tipping point at this event.
But when's this revolution going to hit the road, Eve? Most cities in the U.S. don't even have charging stations.
That's true, and there's still serious range anxiety. That's what they call people's concerns about their electric car dying in the middle of nowhere without a way to charge it. Automakers admit they probably won't make profits on electric cars for several years because of that. But they think laws on emissions are only going to get more strict, so they need to get ahead of those now.
Okay, that's the electric stuff. I assume there were some good old gas engines at the show?
Yes, side-by-side with electrics and hybrids, there are all these more efficient traditional cars. Ford has a diesel Fiesta, and Fiat has some new cars that pollute just a tiny bit less than hybrids, than Priuses. There's a Prii.
I believe it's Prii.
Now, most people, they might want to try electric and hybrid cars, but they're very expensive. So car companies are going to still making good old gas engines. And in this economy, more miles per gallon is still a great selling point.
Marketplace's Eve Tro. Eve, thank you.
Thank you.
Back in Detroit, the feeling's not quite so electric. More than 1,000 Lincoln dealers have been summoned to Ford headquarters to hear the company's plan for reviving that old luxury brand. You know, Ford has moved away from other upscale lines. It sold Jaguar. It shut down Mercury. Ford does hope to reinvent Lincoln, but Marketplace's Elisa Roth tells us that could be a hard sell.
You know it's a bad sign when even the salesman can't talk up the car. Martin Bornstein runs a Lincoln Mercury dealership near New York City. He says people who want luxury cars don't want Lincolns.
You know, the people that say, I have a BMW, I have a Lexus. You know, they don't have a Lincoln. And they say you have a Lincoln, it's like you didn't make it yet.
That hasn't always been the case. 10 years ago, Lincoln was the best-selling luxury brand in the country. By last year, it had dropped to number 8, though. Lexus is on the top these days. Martin Goebbels has a Ford and Lincoln dealership in Wyoming. He says Lincolns have limited appeal.
I don't ever remember selling a Lincoln to anybody under the age of 45.
Ford is going after a younger crowd with a new ad campaign that emphasizes Lincoln's cool technology. The tagline is, smarter than luxury. But the company also has to convince buyers that Lincolns really are different from their Ford cousins, that they're more than just a Taurus in a tailored suit. Ivan Drury is an analyst at Edmunds.com, the car buying site.
The argument always comes through, well, why am I paying so much extra for this vehicle that's, you know, 90% similar to the cheaper version?
Lincoln is overhauling its whole lineup, which dealers hope will make the cars easier to sell. But Lincoln's facelift is going to cost the dealers. Ford is reportedly planning to shut down 200 dealerships, and the survivors will have to make big investments so their showrooms are as luxurious as the cars. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Now let's do the numbers. Global stocks are mixed this morning. The French pharmaceutical company Sanofi Aventis has launched an $18 billion hostile bid for the Massachusetts biotech firm Genzyme. Genzyme has some promising treatments for high cholesterol and some rare genetic disorders. Sanofi made a friendly offer this summer, but Genzyme's board said no to that. On Wall Street on Friday, the Dow Industrials added 41 points. The close was 10,829. The man who helped develop test tube fertilization won the Nobel Prize in Medicine this morning. British researcher Robert Edwards worked on IVF technology. That's where egg cells are fertilized outside the body and implanted in the womb. The technique has helped millions of infertile couples have children.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the new Rosetta Stone, introducing their latest advancement in language learning, version 4 Totali. Information at rosettastone.com/APM. By Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. And by MassMutual, with financial professionals nationwide who are trained to serve the unique financial needs of their clients at massmutual.com.
This morning, Iraq announced there is significantly more oil underneath that country than first thought, 25% more. That would mean Iraq's oil reserves are second only to Saudi Arabia. Will that mean a gush of foreign investment? We asked Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer to take a look.
For years, embargoes and war kept Iraqis from getting a clear idea of how much oil they were sitting on. Now, underground rock formations are coming into focus thanks to new computer technology. David Hackett heads the energy consulting firm Stillwater Associates.
Now, with today's modern computers, they can actually look at it in three dimensions in order to help identify potential oil-producing structures.
Okay, you've got oil-producing structures, but the Iraqi government has no structure. In fact, Iraqis haven't been able to form a government since the elections last March, and violence has remained steady. But other oil-producing countries are also having problems with violence and politics. Stephen Shork of the Shork Report says they make Iraq look pretty good to foreign oil companies.
In Iraq, especially with attainable oil, certainly makes sense at this point.
Especially if oil prices continue to go up. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And finally, a disturbing marketing campaign from the security firm ADT. It's happening in Santiago, Chile, where the company slips a flattened box underneath people's doors. The box is spring-loaded, so once it's under the door, it grows to full size, and it bears a message that says, "Breaking into your apartment is easier than you think." And isn't that just the feeling you want to get from your own security company? This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.